After a series of childhood misfortunes, her father's death, her mother's ill-advised love affair, her disabled sister wrecking the family GTO, self-avowed church geek Joe Page decided it was her job to figure out how to stay on God's good side and maybe spare the family any more tragedy. But she was a girl and a Lutheran. The women were ordained in the larger branch of the Lutheran Church when Page's own pastor handed her a brochure enumerating all the ways in which she, as a female, was to be silent and submissive. She gave up on the church and went off in search of sex, drugs, and rock and roll like any rejected adolescent Lutheran girl would. Eventually, she found her way back into the church and ultimately into ordained ministry, spending 20 years in the ecclesiastical trenches, presiding over her life's rituals and preaching compulsory weekly words of hope that she wasn't sure she even believed. Her new book is Preaching in My Yes Dress, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Joe Page to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Well, it's nice to be here.
Very nice to have you on the program. The one thing about the book that I find fascinating is that how relatable it is for so many people, even though we may not have any interest in becoming a pastor, a minister, a religious order.
Mm-hmm.
But there is such that feeling, that overall overwhelming feeling that so many of us have of, do we belong here? Is this where I should be? And if not here, where should I be?
Right. Yeah.
And it seems as though that started pretty early for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think so. I mean, you know, you discern a call, but you can never be 100% sure of what where you should be and what you should be doing all the time. I don't think, if you're honest with yourself, anyway.
When you talk in the book, and as I mentioned in the introduction, that idea of being a self-avowed church geek, what was it about about church that interested you and that you enjoyed, that you liked?
Well, I went to two church services on Sundays for the first 9 years of my life, because I would go with my mother to our church and then with my father to the Roman Catholic Church.
Right.
And the hymnody in the Lutheran church was so rich and like really kind of purple language and really scary, too. I mean, like that talked about like what horrible sinners we were and, you know, how frightening God was. And there was something kind of weirdly attractive about that. And then in the Catholic Church, everything was in Latin. And so that was kind of mysterious. There was the incense and the Sanctus bells. And so part of it was this kind of otherness, the complete otherness of it.
And you kind of had a choice at one point of looking at which church you wanted to align yourself with.
I never felt conscious like that. I kind of informally left the church when I went away to college. And then when I was in graduate school, I kind of just started with a Lutheran church because that's what I knew.
That's what you knew.
So, but my seminary training began at a very progressive Methodist seminary in Denver. So, and I've served, I served a Federated American Baptist and United Church of Christ church just a couple of years ago. So I've kind of been around the denominational block a little bit.
What do you learn from that experience? Is that a positive experience in seeing the various facets of Christianity?
Yeah, actually, when I was serving this Federated church, what was interesting was that there are serious historic theological differences. And yet I think that it was a very progressive church. I have a very progressive personal theology. And I think that the things that united the denominations in terms of politics and current theologies were stronger than the historic differences. It was great. It was a great experience.
Did you feel that you were, when it came to the Lutheran Church and after being given the pamphlet of sort of all the things that you couldn't, here are the rules, all the things that you can do, when did you start to become one and feel that it was a right fit?
Going to seminary?
Yes.
Oh, it was much later. I was in an MFA program at the University of Virginia when I started going back to church, which was really a weird thing to do. You know, not a lot of graduate students are getting up on Sunday morning after going out dancing on Saturday night and going to church. But the South is a little bit different. You know, there's more of a church culture in the South. So it wasn't that weird. My housemates thought it was weird. They were Northerners. But, you know, it's a church culture. And it was there that I really started hearing a different kind of Christianity than I had grown up with. And that's when I thought I really wanted to go to seminary. But it took a while to get there. And it wasn't an easy path, actually.
Mm. What did you find difficult about it?
I think the same thing that I still find difficult, which is that people project onto you as if you identify yourself as a religious person in some ways. They project things onto you that I find stifling largely.
Meaning that there is a superiority?
Maybe. People assume that I'm holier than thou, or, you know, that I never...
Or that you will judge them.
Or I will judge them, yeah, which is not... I'm no more judgy than anybody else, I don't think. Maybe but, less so.
But we also look at... So let me ask this question, because I want to explore this further. So let me ask this question, which is, do you feel that you are... The square peg in the round hole, that you are different than others that are serving, or that you and your views are fairly consistent with those in the clergy?
It's hard to say. I mean, I'm not given to talking about my own personal theology very freely. I have the language of the church that I can use in my public service as a pastor. But I don't know. I think I have maybe struggled to stay in ministry more than a lot of my colleagues.
So the reason I ask the question is because when people think that you are either going to judge them or be a superior, or that you're holier than thou, is that a feeling that you think affects you more than it does others who are in your calling?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. Mm. I'm going to have to talk about that with my colleagues. I'm having lunch with some of them today. Well, this will come up.
So when you think about the and you write about this of it's a sense that you have this belief, but then there are certainly things that you have ideological trouble with, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, and this is a question that all of us have. I'm Roman Catholic, so we have this. Yeah, I'm dealing with this all the time. Mm-hmm. Which is so okay. So how do? All right, this is what they say, but this is how I feel. So mm-hmm. then, how do I rectify that?
Mm-hmm.
It seems in reading the book, you kind of dealt with this almost constantly, and still do.
Yeah, I wrestle with stuff, and the wrestling can be fun. I mean, that's part of it, you know.
Healthy.
Yeah.
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 So it doesn't have to be definitive when you talk to those in your congregation, meaning your belief.
Yeah, yeah. Definitive is a scary word because it's a very narrow word, you know. I mean, it's a very defining word.
Well, it is, but many would say that's also part of religion, mm-hmm, is that, mm-hmm, is that mm-hmm. it is very defining.
Yeah.
That this is right, that is wrong.
Yeah. Well, I mean, ethically, sure. I mean, I do think there are clear rights and clear wrongs, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
But then how do we go to the gray area?
Give me an example of a gray. What do you mean by a gray area?
I guess it would mean for you in as you were saying, the things that you wrestle with.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody comes to you, do you give the words of the church, or do you give your personal belief?
Probably a little bit of both. I mean, certainly if I've had people who've come to me with personal problems, I mean, that's a private one-on-one experience where I will try to share from my heart and my gut and my mind what's best for them. And that depends on the circumstance. Each circumstance is different.
What do you make of the religious right?
Oh, I have a real problem with the religious right. I just think that there's been, I mean, you know, I've written about that in the book too.
Right. I
just think that there's a lot of Christianity that's really been co-opted. And I think that that's part of what's made it sometimes hard for me to stay in ministry is because I disagree with so much of what is put forth as Christianity on the religious right. And that tends to be, I think, what people think of when they think of Christianity, at least in the United States.
I'm asking a lot of these questions, but the subtitle of the book is Confessions of a Reluctant Pastor.
And you're noticing that I'm reluctant to
answer. Yeah, so my question is, you know, what makes you reluctant? Why are you reluctant? Have you gotten to the key to that as to why you're reluctant?
Well, I mean, it's an interesting and fascinating business. I absolutely love leading worship, planning worship services. I love doing adult forum. I love education. I love teaching. I love that. I think that, you know, churches are in trouble in a big way, and that's not anything that people don't know, but I think we're really hesitant to say that, and we're really hesitant to try some different things, or maybe, you know, and then I have resistance to trying some of the things that I just don't like praise bands and, you know, stuff like that.
Mm.
I like really good liturgy. So I think it's, and the perception, having been, you know, being perceived as somebody who might be narrow-minded or closed-minded or homophobic, which is ridiculous, you know, that's also something that's made me sometimes reluctant to identify myself as a pastor. I had a friend who went on a dating website, and instead of identifying herself as a pastor occupationally, she just said that, like, she worked in human resources. And that's not a lie, you know?
No, that's
not
about
really
as,
the truth either.
Yeah,
but
it's about as human resources as you can get, really,
exactly,
isn't it?
Exactly.
So do you think that by, I was struck by something that you just said of wanting to try new things. Like, what were some of the things that you would like to try?
Actually, did try this. I served a parish for 10 years, and we had a service on Sunday nights called Make Peace with Sunday Night. And it was very alternative. It was, we had live music most of the time, and I would do readings from different, not all from the Bible. In fact, there were weeks where there were no readings from the Bible. But somehow stimulating readings, something that would stimulate conversation. Then we would sit in silence for 10 minutes, and then we would talk briefly for 10 minutes. And we had so many people come to that. Never a big crowd, but there were always new faces. And I think it's because a lot of people have been burned in church experiences, or they don't want a traditional experience. This was small. It was very alternative. And I thought that was just a wonderful thing. I would make peace with any night of the week if I could find somebody who would let me do it.
That idea of so many people being burned by a church experience.
Mm-hmm.
I had saw a pastor come to a new parish in the Catholic Church, and the first mass that he gave, he said, I'm going to start with you, but I want you to get the word out that of all of the things that have wronged you and the reasons that you don't come to church, I want those people and I want you to know that I am sorry for that.
Mm.
And now from tonight on, we will build and try to get trust so that you understand that I want to work with you in a community.
Mm-hmm.
I was really struck by that.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
Is that rare? Because a lot of us feel... I think a lot of people do feel that have been burned in one shape or form. And then you go kind of shopping
yeah, yeah.
to find somebody who's going to be.
Or you just check out. You just check out. And absolutely. I think that's, yeah. I mean, that's great that he did that, but of course he's already talking to people who are already in the congregation.
Right. But it was very important for him to get those other people to spread that word so that other people in the community knew.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to have those people be the people that then come out and say, okay, let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's work on this.
Mm-hmm.
Great title, Preaching in My Yes Dress. What's your yes dress?
Okay, so, you know, for the first few years that I was doing this, like I'd do a wedding and I'd have my alb, my white robe on over, you know, and then at the reception, if I was staying, I would take off my alb and I was wearing a clerical collar and a skirt and I just looked so frumpy all the time. And I got really tired of looking frumpy. And I decided that I wanted to have like a really pretty sexy dress that I could wear at receptions and not look like I'm still the pastor or, you know, that I could just be another wedding guest. And so my friend Karen and I went shopping and I tried on this dress and we both looked at it and said, yes. And I bought it. And that was a few years ago. And it still sort of fits. It's a little tight in places, but.
And the reaction was good when you came to the reception.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Do you care about the reaction?
Well, this particular wedding that I bought the dress for, yes, I did care.
Oh, good. Okay, that's good. The book is delightful. It's Preaching in My Yes Dress, Confessions of a Reluctant Pastor. Are you doing any events? Are you doing anything? You around?
I am. I'm actually doing a signing at the Open Door Bookstore on Saturday.
Saturday in Schenectady on J Street.
In Schenectady on J Street. I'm going to be at the Book House. I don't remember off the top of my head what day. I'll be at Northshire in Saratoga. And I'm going to be doing a little trip through New England in April, and then I'll be in Binghamton on April 22nd.
And you have a website as well.
I do. It's www.joe-page.com.
Joe-page.com, and I assume the events are on there.
They will be as soon as my daughter uploads them.
Excellent.
So maybe she'll do that today.
Wonderful. So check that out, joe-page.com.
Yep.
Again, the name of the book is Preaching in My Yes Dress, Confessions of a Reluctant Pastor. Joe Page, a great pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Joe, for having me.
Delight. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.